She says, quote, you could say he is exploring my pussy like he did he did North America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At least 500 years before Christopher Columbus. Yeah.
At least. The only explorer we recognize on this podcast.
Hello.
Hey. Whoa. Hi. Where are we? What is this?
Do you remember us? Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
It's been 1 million years, but last time I checked, that's Sarah and she loves books.
And that's still hope. She loves talking to me about books. Every episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them. And we're back. We're back. Here surprise. We didn't tell anybody, but we just decided to return with no notice. But we come bearing gifts, which is today's wonderful book that I really wanted something that stood out. You know, I sure. wanted something way different than anything we've ever done before. Mm-hmm. And I think this checks that box.
Okay.
Because, you know, a lot of people are doing summer vacations. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Are you somebody who like needs something specific when you go on a summer vacation, Hope?
No, honestly, when I go on a summer vacation, I am mostly just need to veg. I'm there to relax and not worry. And as long as I've got at least some opportunity to like chill out and do stuff on my own time, that's pretty much all I need out of a vacation.
Yeah, I'm fairly the same way. I want to do things at my own pace. My brother likes to say he likes to see, quote, the real shit. He wants mm-hmm. to be immersed.
Sure.
But even though this isn't necessarily set in the summer, I do want to say that this is a travel-related book. It is called My Date with a Leif Erikson Statue by Biblio Barbie. This is a part of the Sentient Objects Holiday series, which is a series of novellas by some of our favorite smut authors, including Vera Valentine, including, I don't have the full list up with me right now. Hey, my internet just decided to give me the spinning wheel.
Well, you're doing great.
Unfortunate Reads, like I said, Vera Valentine. There's quite Holly Wilde, who did, you know, the teddy bear, the birthday bear. Uh-huh. There's just so many options. This is a series that these authors came together and wrote about unique holidays through the year. And you probably already understand where your research is coming in because I asked you to research Leif Erikson.
Yes.
But before we get too far in, I do want to tell you a little bit about Biblio Barbie. Hold on. I'm not even at the right place. Okay. They are a Colorado.
I love
it. Hold on. Give me a moment. Colorado native monster lover and purveyor of spice, slightly unhinged romances, spicy, slightly unhinged romances.
Aren't we all at this point?
I mean, if you're not, I'm not sure what you're doing here.
You might be lost.
You might have come down the wrong rabbit hole, but we're happy you're here because a little more about her when she's not writing Sentient Mascot or Pickles with Passion, she's probably curled up with her husband, an iced coffee, and an idea that definitely shouldn't be allowed to become a book, but will. She also is on Instagram, biblio.barbie, where she is usually rating books with bizarre meters, chatting about Shrek, thirsting over monsters, and probably hot dogs. Look, we don't ask questions. That's the full description.
We listen and we don't judge.
We sure don't, unless you're putting things into holes that you shouldn't be.
We all know how I feel about putting things in your orifices that are not specifically designed to go there.
Absolutely.
Put things that are designed to go there and don't put anything else there.
Yeah. Or at least, what do they always say about like certain dildos? You got to
have a flared base.
Yes. Flared base. We always need a flared base. Okay. So this has a 4.23 on both Storygraph and Goodreads, and our content warnings are just some sexual content. We've got no other concerning things on the docket that I think
gonna
people
get sexy.
Should be worried about. All right. Hope. Today, We are going on a girls' trip.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to guess where we are going on this girls' trip?
Let me tell you where I want you to be going, which is beautiful and incredibly Norwegian Stoughton, Wisconsin.
I wish that was also the case.
Quite frankly, I don't care where we're going in this book because I'm going on a pretty Norwegian vacation every time I step outside my home.
Well, that's totally fair. And you guys just had a festival, which
yes, Setnamai
looked gorgeous.
As Norwegian as it gets.
We're going to go to equally Norwegian Chicago.
Yay!
We're both Midwesterners. We've both been to Chicago numerous times. But we're going there on a girls' trip with our main character, Delilah, and her three friends, Bex, Gemma, and Amber. Okay?
Uh-huh.
We've been on girls' trips before, you and I.
Yes, we have.
And typically you all kind of arrive at different times because you're coming from different places, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Bex and Delilah had already been in the Chicago area. And they go to the airport to pick up Gemma and Amber, who just flew into the city.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever picked up a friend from a major national airport, Hope?
I've been picked up from major national airports many a time by family and friends.
Have you done the picking up?
I've been the person picked up.
Okay. You've never done the driving to a major national airport.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had to personally drive into an absolutely huge airport. I've been to a lot of absolutely huge airports. I've flown to them, but I've never had to go into try and navigate a huge airport to find a friend. Like,
yeah.
For example, I've not had to personally drive into Chicago O'Hare.
Yeah.
To pick up a friend.
Yeah. Well, if anybody has done this before, you know, as I do so well, that it is mass chaos because mm-hmm. they will not let you stop the car for any reason.
Correct.
Like it's mayhem. They're like, no, you got to keep driving. If your person isn't here yet, you got to keep driving. Like it's a stop, drop and roll type of situation. So when Bex and Delilah roll up, their friends are yet to come out. And, you know, the traffic person is like, get out of here. And they've got to show a little cleavage to get by, apparently.
Other people might wait in the cell phone lot, but also showing a little cleavage might help.
Yeah. Show those good girls a good time. So anyway, they show off their cleavage. They finally pick up their friends and they decide to head into the city. And when they're on their way, the girls who were on the plane were like, oh, we've had such a long travel day. We need some coffee or tea or caffeine of some degree. And so they're like, let's just stop over here, wherever we are, to a coffee shop. And where they stop is near Humboldt Park. Now, okay. I did look this all up.
Great.
And Humboldt Park is on your way from the Chicago airport to downtown Chicago.
Nice.
So, because I was about to be like, if this is far out of the way, I'm going to have questions. But while her friends run into the coffee shop, Delilah's caught for a minute because she sees a twinkle somewhere and she like kind of looks around and uh-huh. she notices a statue of a large man, which looks really old. You know how those statues will kind of turn like a teal, like,
yeah,
you know, like clearly it's like the same effect that happened to the Statue of Liberty, whatever. Anyway, so she notices this large male statue. It looks really, really old. He doesn't look like some pilgrim that colonized America. He looks like he's got an old helmet and a large, you know, shield. And she says to her, quote, he's kind of hot. Okay, settle down, Delilah. It's just a statue, for fuck's sake.
That's what they always say.
I know. They're always like, ooh.
It's just a this.
It's just a coffee cup. It's just a scarecrow.
It's just a lamp.
Yeah.
It's just the
what are you gonna
corn
do?
Daddy.
But when the statue winks at her, she is so startled that she falls on her ass.
For sure.
And she thinks it's just like a trick of her eye. And she's like kind of like trying to stare it down. Have you ever had that before where you think something moved that shouldn't have moved? And you're like,
yes, God, like, did I see that?
Did I see that?
Yes.
Like a depth perception.
I see a spider somewhere, but
yeah. Yeah. So she notices that the nameplate says Leif the Lucky Erickson. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They get their coffees. She's kind of flustered by what just happened, that she even gets a black coffee, and that's not her favorite kind of coffee. So, like, why did she? She's just so flustered.
She's like, I just can't even be a normal person because of this hot statue I've seen.
I ordered the least appealing thing on the menu because I'm so flustered by a winking statue. And they get their copies and they go and to leave the park area, and she gets a flash of heat over her body, which doesn't make sense because it's a fall day in Chicago. So why would she get a rush of heat? I don't know.
From where?
I don't know. Delilah shakes it off and they head to their downtown hotel where they got a suite at the Waldorf. And then they proceed to have multiple pages of unnecessary amount of description of what they did on their girls trip.
They went to the bean.
Have you seen the pictures or the social media posts of people doing like presentations with their friends to catch up on each other? Yeah. So they do one of those. Right.
How's everyone doing?
Yeah. They dress up and show off their fashion. There's whole paragraphs on how the girls look that night. They go to a super fancy dinner, and then they hit a quote-unquote speakeasy, which is really just a jazz club. Huh. And while she's dancing at the speakeasy jazz club thing, she starts drinking a little too much, and then she starts thinking about Leaf.
Who among us haven't done that before?
I know. And she says to herself, quote, holy shit, Delilah, do not come from jazz music and thinking about a statue.
Who knew it could be that easy, Sarah?
Sometimes you're just in the heat of the moment. The jazz is hitting right.
Jazz music and the thought of a little statue.
You've had a little sidecar, you know, cocktail. You're like shimmying in your little sparkle dress, right?
Love it.
She's like, heads off to the bathroom. She's like, I need to get myself together. And she goes into a stall and she takes 1 minute to consider masturbating in the stall, but then to Leaf. But then she's like, no, I just should just go to the bathroom and do my business.
Yeah, babe. You don't want that smoke in a public. Just no.
Trust me, this isn't going to be the last time. After they're done partying, they head back to the hotel where they have their own rooms in this suite. So she's not like sharing a room with anybody. Uh-huh. And she decides to masturbate with the multiple toys that she brought along with her.
Stay strapped, my friend.
I don't give a fuck that she's masturbating in a smut book. What I do give a fuck about is that she's picturing the orc from her latest smut book that she read. And I'm a little like, excuse me, man, you've had less than 24 hours that you've almost masturbated in a stall over the statue. Uh-huh. And you're thinking about this orc. Leaf? Yeah, really? But she's halfway through the process and her mind starts wandering to, you know, Leaf instead of the orc. And she thinks about him driving his cold metal rod inside her. And yes, she does get off from it. And she's like, you know what? Why the hell not do it again? So she does it a second time.
Sure.
All right. Next day, they're headed to the festival for Leif Erikson Day. At this time, I think we should reveal to our listeners who Leif Erikson even is. Would you mind sharing with us?
I wouldn't mind at all. Welcome to my research called, in all caps, Happy Leif Erikson Day. Hinka Dinka Jurgen.
What is that gibberish or is that?
I'm just going to ignore that and move on. Thank you so much to the Mariners Museum and Park in Newport, Virginia, BBC.co, Joseph Robinette Biden, our former president, and Encyclopedia SpongeBob for all of my information. If Sarah didn't anticipate that this would be a tangentially SpongeBob centric research segment,
this is making sense.
Insanely wrong.
This is now making sense.
Yeah, well, that's I can't believe it. It's the first thing I thought of. I was so excited when she asked me to research Leif Erikson. TLDR, Leif Erikson was a Norse explorer who lived between late 900 and early 1000 CE, which is like the common era, and fought Christopher Columbus because this guy hit North America like a half a millennium beforehand.
Yeah, this is me nodding right now.
Yes, nods are happening. Leif Erikson Day is celebrated on October 9th. It recognizes this trip, which is believed to be the first European excursion to North America. And it occurred around like 1000 CE. Erikson and 35 men sailed into what is estimated to have been like way, way northern Canada, like Greenland, like way northern Canada, where they walked around and like named stuff and picked a lot of wild grapes and found some salmon and some livestock. And we're like, we could really set up here. What a time to be alive. last year in 2024, Biden issued a proclamation for Leif Erikson Day, which includes the following passage, which I felt just kind of summed up the whole thing. Quote, many believe that roughly a millennium ago, Leif Erikson, a Norse explorer, and his crew were the first Europeans to reach the shores of North America. His spirit of adventure, curiosity, and resilience would inspire generations of Danes, Finns, Icelanders, Norwegians, and Swedes to sail across the ocean and begin new lives in America. Hopes insert, especially in, say, Stoughton, Wisconsin, where it's very, very Norwegian. These immigrants built bustling homes and enriched their communities, supporting and realizing the American dream. They fought for our freedoms in the military, built churches, businesses, and schools, and spearheaded social movements. Today, Nordic communities continue to enrich the fabric of the nation, which is so true because, as I've said 500 times, I live in a super, super Norwegian town. There is a cultural museum literally down the road from where I live, and I have literally seen a bust of Leif Erikson inside it.
Wow.
Yes, there is one. It's there. So if you are me, you began celebrating Leif Erikson Day in approximately November of the year 2000 after SpongeBob referenced it in season 2, episode 23B, Bubble Buddy. But it is real. It's not just a thing on SpongeBob. Last but not least, it's not the main thing he's... I mean, I would argue it's not the main thing he's known for. But because it is mentioned on his statue in this book, yes, Leif Erikson is known as Leif the Lucky. And this is because while traveling back to Greenland from his excursion that took him to North America / Canada, his ship encountered a different ship that was shipwrecked. And they were able to take 15 men from the wreckage on board with them and like bring them with him to Greenland and save them. So he's lucky because he was there and he saved them. And if he hadn't been there, they would be dead.
I would argue that the other people are the lucky ones. You know what I mean? And
whatever.
I'm not going to argue with that man.
That's what popped up in my research. And if he also was getting lucky or winning the lottery, it wasn't immediately mentioned to me. And that's the end of my research.
Well, I'm going to tag on to some of your research because I decided to look up the monument that we are discussing here. Mm-hmm. First of all, the artwork was created in 1901 and it was installed in this park, Humboldt Park, in 1950. Wow. And I'm going to let you know right now, we're going to talk about some dimensions of him. Good. And I'm going to let you know right now that most statues are not life size, right? They're larger.
Yes. And the bust at the museum down the street for me is very small, for example. It is not human one-to-one.
Yes. So this one, like there's a picture of a car. There's like a car next to this statue in the picture. And the statue itself, I would say, is like 3 times the height of a car. And it's on a boulder. So there's a boulder.
Okay.
And then it's on top of the boulder. So just keep this in mind.
Logistical reasons that may or may not occur later, I should know that it is not necessarily easy to get into face-to-face relations with the statue.
We'll discuss. Yes. Okay. We will discuss. Great.
Good.
So there's a festival for Mr. Leif that the girls go to.
You know, Mr. Leif.
Mr. Leif.
The girls in SpongeBob are all there.
They are rallied. And they are walking through that park from earlier and they see his statue. And Gemma dares Delilah to make out with the statue.
Who does that?
I want to remind you, there's a festival happening. There are a lot of people around. All right.
Yeah.
And internally, Delilah says, quote, nothing dangerous, just making out with the statue that's been my spank bank material for the entire trip so far. It's fine. This is fine.
It's all very normal.
Yes. She very happily accepts this dare. And you know, when you're kind of with your girls and you're hamming it up because you're like, you know what? We're all silly, goofy gooses, geeses. We are going to do what we do. So she's like giving him like a little show, like she's gonna do this all out. So she's like got her friend's scarf and she's got some Germex and she's like shimmying up to him.
I'm gonna
she's like
do a burlesque number and also carefully sanitize his mouth for when I make out with him.
Precisely. She like does a little seduction dance up to him and is like, oh, you want to kiss me? Like, I'll kiss you. Like, your body's banging, blah blah blah. Like, and I want to remind you, there is a boulder and a giant ass statue. So
like your body's banging as she scales a large boulder to get
Literally, I don't
multiple times the size of a car.
I don't think that this is logistically correct.
Da-da,
this is my my little burlesque music about it.
Okay, Christina Aguilera, share. Thank you.
Like, she's got chalk on her hands and she's like climbing a boulder.
She's got like those little slippers on and she's like trying to mount him. Anyway, so she puts a little, you know, Germex on it and she wipes it off and then she gives him full, you know, tongue action.
Is his mouth open?
I don't know. Let me take a good look.
Because now, in my head, I'm imagining just like really trying to shove your tongue into a fully closed lipped.
Yes.
Cool.
Precisely.
Hot.
So, and then when she's done making out with him, she humps him a couple times for good measure. Mm-hmm. And she's a little disappointed that he didn't move, you know, like he did earlier. Yeah. She's like, I just did a whole shebang for you.
Does the magic of Leif Erikson Day not make all of his statues come to life?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so we'll talk about that. But then they go to walk away, and she glances back at him, and he's smirking a little bit.
Yeah, I bet.
After a day of exploring and shopping, the girls are exhausted, and they head back to the hotel, and they decide just to crash for the night. Mm-hmm. So Delilah passes the fuck out, and in her dream, someone comes and rips off her blanket. His cold figure looms over her body, and now she's startled because she doesn't know why this man is so cold. And her room is just so dark, she can't quite see, but she kind of makes out his figure based on the lights out of the window, and she realizes it's Leif. He says something in a language she doesn't understand, and when she gives him a puzzled look,
fully he just Norwegian,
chuckles at her. And she turns the lamp on and realizes she is not, in fact, dreaming. He really is here. The statue, not Leif, just the statue.
Just the actual statue.
Not him. It's just his statue.
How he get in here so quiet?
Yeah, and this brings us back to the question from the Bear Book, which is, do all statues of Leif have one mind? Oh, right? Mind.
Yeah, singular conscious.
Yeah, and is it Leif or is it just
the statue of Leif?
Statue of Leif consciousness.
Yeah,
you know,
all good questions.
Thank you, thank you. So he's just like she's gonna scream, and he's like putting the moves on her, and he like covers her mouth so she doesn't scream, and like holds up a finger to tell her to be quiet. And that's another thing I love to analyze, people having language barriers, because I'm like, does everybody like? In what, the 900s, did they know to put their finger up?
In 900, were we doing
quiet children? Okay, so she gets a good look at him, including his bulge, and she says, quote, I'm glad your sculptor didn't spare any details. But then he just awkwardly looks at her because he doesn't know what she's saying either.
Doesn't speak a word of English, so none of that means anything to poor Leif Erikson.
And they just kind of stare at each other. And at this moment, I would like to formally thank Kindle for the one thing I can thank Jeff Bezos for, which is the translation feature, because the author waited until the very end of the book to put in the translations, and she doesn't mention it at any point. And so I had to actually just trip and fall upon it. But she just like had him say a bunch of things in Norwegian that I didn't know until I used the translation feature. So
awesome.
Just know that. Okay. So he says something and she just kind of nods and is like, sure.
Sure.
But what he was saying is like, can I touch you? Like, is it okay if I touch you?
Was he saying Hinka Tinka Durgan? Because that's what SpongeBob says.
Oh, sorry. I skipped ahead a second. He does introduce himself as Leif too. He like points to himself and is like,
Erikson.
Leif. And then she just ignores that at all. Okay.
Sure.
So yeah, he asks if he can touch her, which is so hot. Like, we love consent in all languages. She does have a moment where she's like just nodding at him because she's like, if I just keep saying yes, maybe he'll keep going. And he starts touching her, and she has a brief moment where she's like, maybe I need to update my tetanus shot. Okay. So she does think about, you know, how
the consequences
could be. Yeah.
The Rammies of her actions.
I mean, she did disinfect his mouth earlier, so she is slightly aware. Instead, instead of introducing herself, she just is like, hey, does your dick work? Like, I see the bulge. She's like,
dick, and pointing a lot.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what the metal situation is, given that metal is hard and he's a statue, but I guess somehow he removes his statue clothes and his
statue pants.
Yeah. Well, it's like a little skirt thing. Sure. And his, you know, dick comes free. Okay. And so they are suddenly kissing like the world is ending. Okay. And he's removing her clothes. He rips off her pink lacy thong, in which she does get a little irritated because she was like, hey, I liked those.
Stop ripping the lingerie without permission.
Exactly. If
they might want to be kept.
Yeah. Also, we reduce, reuse, recycle in this family. We don't be throwing those things away.
Also, okay? In this economy?
With
tariffs? Are you kidding?
In this panini? I don't think so. Anyway. Meanwhile, he decides to finger her. And at this point, I would like to bring back that proportions question that I brought up earlier, which is that statues are typically way bigger in real life than they are like human size. So I'm wondering at this point, how big is he in her bedroom? Like,
it asks, I think I'm seeing the statue. I like Googled it because I see one that's on top of a big rock.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think, yeah. And I'm just like, you're shoving. Okay. If I take the proportions of the car in this photo and I compare it to his hand, I'm saying that that hand is probably close to a steering wheel. And then you get one of those long ass fingers out and you're shoving it inside. Oi.
That's pretty crazy.
Oi. Okay. So for argument's sake, we're just going to go through the rest of this thing and assume that he is just human size because we never address his size. So I
never will.
And we never will. Okay. So she wants to get this show on the road. She's like trying to grind up on his privates. But Leaf is a statue that was written by a woman. Okay. So he shakes his head at her and says, I'm going down on you instead. All right. So he takes that little metal tongue and apparently matches her body temperature to it. So it's not freezing.
Fascinating. Technology.
Yeah. And she says, quote, you could say he is exploring my pussy like he did he did North America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At least 500 years before Christopher Columbus. Yeah.
At least. The only explorer we recognize on this podcast. So she does get off from him going down on her. Okay.
Great.
And she says out loud, quote, that was, and then before she can finish it, he says in his native tongue, the word for awesome.
Great.
And I want to know if awesome was a word in 900. Okay.
I don't have access to that kind of information. Maybe he hears a lot in Chicago and he's just picked up a more modern grasp of language than that.
I was going to make the same argument. So I appreciate that we're on the same page. Okay. So then he taps his hands against his legs and it makes like that metal clinking noise.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, don't gotta ask me twice. And she like hops on. All right. Are you ready for a dick description?
A description? Yes, I am.
Description.
No, I said dickscription and I will not be corrected. Continue.
No, I repeated what you said after you said it. I think we need to trademark that one.
Thank you for playing with me in the space. Continue.
Yes. So somehow his dick has multiple bands around it and studs. So it's like ribbed and it also like has little studs on
riveted.
It. Riveted. Mm-hmm. So definitely made for her pleasure. Now, the next quote I'm hoping is because she intentionally miswrote the phrase. Okay.
Okay. I'm with you.
Because internally, Delilah says, quote, I've heard the phrase hung like a Norse before, but now I know it's true.
Oh.
It's hung like a horse.
Well, that is the phrase, but maybe because he's Norse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a play on words.
Yeah. I know it's. Yeah. 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 Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll get over it for this one time. At one point, he tells her in his native language, careful, little dragon, which not sure why we are going with little dragon. But
well, let me tell you that down in the, this is not actually a statement of like informative fact so much as just like there's a very Norwegian building that does have a dragon on top of it.
Okay.
Down the street from me.
Fair.
It's Norwegian.
Maybe I should have asked you to look up what dragon's importance in Norwegian culture was, but
the Brothers of Norway have it on their building.
Well, good to know. It's got some accuracy then. And then he goes on to say, I'm going to fuck you and mark you, my little dragon. You will only long for me. Which this causes her to quickly finish because of that sexy talk that she does not understand. Which, look, I'm a sucker for a good accent, too.
Look, we just get it.
I understand. We get it, girl. Delilah, we are one in the same.
Look, Bad Bunny talks, and I don't often understand what he's saying, but I do get it.
I do get it. Now, I think we have a podcast first.
Okay. I'm ready. That's,
to my knowledge.
That's big words.
To my knowledge.
Okay.
Leaf does not finish.
Ooh.
At all. Full stop, period.
Whoa.
It is literally for her pleasure. But also, I'm a little like, thank you. He's a statue. What was he going to finish?
It is hard. And it tasted like Norway. Like, it sometimes...
It tasted metallic.
Listen, do enjoy when we have a really goofy, unnecessarily flavored semen. We're always here for it. But like, when it makes sense, and it simply wouldn't have made sense in statue. It just wouldn't have made sense.
I second this movement. Okay, so he turns to leave and she's like desperate to keep him. She's like telling him to stay and he kisses her softly and says, goodbye for now, my fire. She again does
like,
not know.
I don't know what you're saying.
And when he disappears into the dark corner of her room, she starts crying and says, happy Leif Erikson day to me. The next morning, she's sore and she smells metallic. So she's like, it was not a dream. It was real fucking life.
Well, that I wasn't surprised by, but what a hilarious after smell to have.
After cleaning up the bathroom, she comes back and finds a dildo model of Leif's penis on her nightstand. It's firm, yet soft, and very accurate.
Okay, firm and soft.
I really like this concept we've come up with now in some of these books, because this has happened more than once, where they leave behind a dildo.
Yeah, like, remember me.
Yeah. If you recall, we had it with the Elf on the Shelf one.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do recall.
And
it started with a dildo, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
And then I believe Teddy Bear, birthday bear.
Uh-huh, birthday bear.
Left with a tiny bear in his absence. I don't think it was a dildo, though.
Not that I can remember.
Anyway, we might have to go back and check how many dildos have been left in place of our male love interests. Okay, so we, like I said, she gets this dildo. She's got to put it to use. All of her friends are waiting for her to go out for breakfast. And she's like, hold on, I've got to take another shower real quick. And she runs to the shower, takes another 25 minutes. Okay, so they decide to go get breakfast somewhere before leaving for the airport and stuff. And Delilah's like, why don't we head out back to that cute area we were at the other day? You know, the one with near the park.
The statue. No reason.
Mm-hmm. And they're all like, yeah, for sure. So they head there and she's like, I'm just going to take a quick walk through the park by myself, completely alone. And she walks up to Leif's statue and says, I hope I made your day special. And then she like holds his finger, which, by the way, in that photo,
really big.
I don't really see a finger, but also she couldn't have casually took his finger in that photo. I'm not seeing, like, again, there's a boulder. She would have had to climb. Anyway,
I assume she's always got her special climbing shoes and she's chalked up and she's always ready to climb.
Always ready to go. And so she takes his finger and she says, thank you for the gift and the thorough fucking. And then his finger twitches in her hand. So she gives his statue a little kiss on the lips and leaves a pink lipstick mark behind before heading back to her friends, nearly in tears. She just misses him so much.
So emotional.
Mm-hmm. So we're at the tail end. Would you like to guess what our finale is?
Well, the good news is that she has a Happy Leif Erikson dildo.
Mm-hmm.
When they leave, does he like wink at her? She can't take a statue with him, right? That would be crazy. But we got to go back to the airport. I'm just not sure. You have to tell me.
Yeah. This one you wouldn't have guessed. So they go to the airport. They all kind of go different ways, and she's headed to her gate, and she comes across one of those big picture advertisements of Chicago, like what to do in Chicago, and it's of Humboldt Park. Great. And she sees his statue in the photo, and it turns her on so much she has to run to the bathroom and use her new special toy in a stall. And she decides to take up Duolingo for Norwegian while she's doing it. But she's like, I'm going to download that bird app with the creepy eyes and learn Norwegian. And then she's trying to be quiet in the stall, which, by the way, she thinks she's alone. Spoiler alert, she's not.
It's the restroom of an airport, question mark?
Yes. And she cries out when she comes, I love you, Leif Erikson. And then as she comes down from the high, a toilet flushes in a stall a couple doors down.
Wow.
And it finishes with her saying, well, when Leif Erikson calls, you come, C-U-M.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
The end. Now, I will give you this little tidbit too.
Okay.
The author did provide an extra chapter for Chicago-styled hot dog recipes.
Good.
And how to prepare them.
I love that.
And it includes, because there's a portion of the book where the girls get a hot dog at a street vendor.
Or peppers.
It includes sport peppers, relish, onion, mustard, tomato wedges, dill pickle spear, no ketchup.
Absolutely no ketchup. Poppy seed bun, probably, or poppy seeds on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To give you a concept of the other books in this series, they feature Rubber Ducky Day, Sweatpants Day, World Water Day, and so much more. So this was one of the installments. You can read them all. This one was about like 50 pages ish.
Love it.
How do you feel?
Positive.
Positive. I feel
really good. Really, really good in my
positive.
Heart.
For sure. Okay, so let's go through our scoring card. Diversity, I'm going to be honest, we didn't really have much description. Based on the cover, you will see that I believe that she is a white woman. But other than that, we've got an immigrant, I guess, in Leif. But other than that, we're not mixing metals here. We're not having inter-metal relationships, I guess. But sure. All that to say, what do you think of the plot?
Well, I guess the plot is this girl is so horny on girls' trips.
Yeah.
For Leif Erikson. So I guess a 3.
Yeah, I would say a 3 is probably, like, there was no.
I liked it.
I feel like there was nothing we were necessarily reaching for.
Mm-hmm.
I will give the smut a 4 because there were multiple scenes of, like, she had what? 3 masturbation scenes and 1 scene with Leif, and everything happened. Also, not letting Leif get off, kind of impressive.
It's just really interesting. Yeah. This doesn't usually happen.
What are you going to give the smut?
Yeah. I will give it a 3.5.
Okay. I have sent you the cover. If you wouldn't mind letting our listeners know what is on that cover.
Oh, and it's so cute. There's like a little banner at the top that says Sentient Object Holiday Series. It's got, is that like a sexy book? I'm seeing it really small. It's got like a little book with some legs on it. It's really cute. Anyway, it says my date with a Leif Erikson statue. And the my date with a is like across the top. And the Leif Erikson statue is in like fun, kind of casual handwritten font across. A picture of what looks to me essentially like an Elle Woods.
Yes.
In front of this Leif Erikson statue is firmly planted on a flat surface, not a rock.
Yes.
Seemingly the ground. And he is, I'm going to say, like, if she's short, if she's like 5 foot, I don't know, 6, then maybe this Leif Erikson statue is like 6 foot something.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a huge size difference.
Definitely not like 3 times the size of a car, for this picture, but it's Leif Erikson's statue, kind of green colored statue guy with like a helmet and a beard and sort of what I would describe to be like a Santa Claus looking coat and a shield. And then our beautiful main character Delilah is wearing a pink flowy dress, and she's just kind of standing in front of him, not making out with him in this picture. Nope. I'll point out PG. She's blonde, if you were curious. And this is by Biblio Barbie. Thank you so much.
I like this cover. I think it's real cute. Fun for a statue cover. I'm giving it a 5. What are you going to give it?
I will give it a 4.
Okay. And that makes me come out at 80%, and you're at 70%. What are your say smart moments?
I mean, the obvious one is publicly making out with a statue you have to climb up on top of. But also, please don't be jorking it in a public restroom. Don't do it.
Yes, I would second that. I would say the fact of she considered it the first time at the jazz club, right? Yep. And then she did it by the end.
Yeah.
It was a little like, oh, we're coming back around to this concept. We were
like, woo, dodged a bullet. But she came back around and was like, JK, LOL.
I liked that we also, his cold metal statuesque could change temperatures apparently to some degree.
Yes.
I also appreciated the little clink clink when he patted his, I don't know why, but that really got me when I read it. It was like clink clink and he's just patting his lap.
Yeah,
like,
get up on here.
I like that we didn't magically know what each other were saying and that it caused some awkwardness.
I like a beautiful, the entire time, absolutely not solved language barrier.
Yes. And I would also say that the fact that she did the making out in front of an entire park during a festival. Was aggressive.
In front of God and SpongeBob, she climbed up on Leif Erikson and gave him a striptease dance without really stripping and a smooch.
Yeah. And then she did it a second time the next day.
And then she did it again.
And another one. All right. Well, any other final thoughts?
Would you like to see my beautiful picture?
I would love to see your beautiful photo.
Canonically, that's a staff covering his junk. He's got a shield. This is supposed to be his skirt that he took off. And I made him with a cute little mustache. And this is some texture of what I assume his peen has.
That is
not a drawing of his penis, but it's like a close up. Because he's got like the little bolts up in the hat.
Well, and she also talks about his long metal hair. So you did get that too.
Great.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. You can find us, if you so choose, on TikTok or Instagram at Say Smut Podcast. Additionally, we'd love to hear your book recommendations. Send those our way via email at saysmutpodcast@gmail.com. Also, pop us a rating or review on the podcast platform of your choosing. We are back for the summer, and we are excited to bring you a hot and steamy summer. But in the meantime, don't be kissing statues in public.
Don't, at the very least, bring sanitizer, but in general, don't do it.
And don't be masturbating in public.
Please, just please. That's all.
And stay smutty. Bye-bye.
See you next time. Goodbye.